with. That's not declaring at least parts of the ANC to be public enemy number one. I'm not too sure what is. Listening to that, Anne Bernstein, founder at the Center for Development and Enterprise. Before we talk about a lack of infrastructure spend, Anne Bernstein, I mean, this report makes your blood run cold. I think we knew most of it, but it does confirm the bits that we suspected, perhaps, that we didn't know absolutely.
Well, I've only seen the press reports and listened to your previous speaker, but I think it's outrageous. The president knew from 2018, December 2018, he got a report on divisions within the security structure, the intelligence structure, and divided loyalties. Treason, actually. And he sat on that until last year. That's one thing. The second is we have a bunch of people in the cabinet, most of whom are incompetent, and we're paying the price of that. And so we really are a country that is almost not governed anymore. And I think it's, you know, if you place that in the context of massive unemployment and a failure to get growth, and we have still not acted against the main instigators of the organized violence and attacks on South African infrastructure and the economy, we still don't have anyone in jail.
Well, we need a commission of inquiry that has a billion rand budget and takes four, you know. Anyway, Anne Bernstein, a couple of things that you and I can expect to hear in the State of the Nation address on Thursday night. We'll hear the president and he'll say government is going to create jobs. He'll then say government will drive growth. And he will say government will do so by investing in infrastructure. And I know this because it's a cut and paste from the 2018 State of the Nation, the 2019 State of the Nation, the 2020 State of the Nation. It's kind of always the same stuff that is never delivered upon. And one of your great frustrations, of course, is the fact that there is just no investing in infrastructure, which is the bedrock of any economy. And I think that's your great frustration. What is holding us back on that front?
Well, we held an important workshop in October last year, Bruce, where I got the key, most senior government people working on infrastructure and the key investors in the country together for a no-holds-barred discussion. What was surprising to me is that, firstly, the private sector is very clear. They are willing and eager and able to participate in well-designed state-led infrastructure projects, but there are no projects coming to market. That's the first point. The second is that government leadership from the president down should stop talking of the imminent arrival of scores, if not hundreds, of projects. According to Dr. Ramakgopa, the most senior government, the head of Infrastructure South Africa in the presidency, he says 272 projects have been pitched. His unit is focusing on 76, of which 50 have been developed, but it will be a long time before these are finalized. So what's clear is that there's far too much talk and there's no action. We haven't yet changed the regulations to enable effective public-private partnerships. Why not, if this has been a priority for years and years? So that's the first thing to ask. We don't have the money in the state budget to build the bridges and fix the railways and do provide the power and everything else we all need. You have to have some policy reform. So there's a big focus in the infrastructure discussion on projects, projects, projects. The president talks about this all the time. What we need to, yes, we need to do that. And the private sector is saying, let's acknowledge our limitations, let's fix the regulations, and let's pick three or four projects that we could all get involved in, that the private sector can get revenue from for their investment, and we would send a bold signal. In addition, if we actually opened up the ports and the railways to the private sector and many other things, we would be able to get private sector investment without the state having to build the capacity to manage projects and do this and do that. It's not going to happen.
But so why?
We're calling
why
for realism here.
You've been looking at this stuff for years and years, and expressing your mounting frustration at the intransigence of the state to accept that it needs help. What is the allergy against help?
I think there are two things. It seems to me that that if your key priority as the president and cabinet is to keep the ruling party united, South Africa cannot make progress. That's number one. Number two, you have to acknowledge fully and frankly how very weak and corrupt the state is. And that's a very hard thing to do, but unless we have a common diagnosis, we all fantasize that somehow the state will do this. Well, they can't. So we need a good diagnosis that's realistic, and we need to acknowledge that the country's interests have to come before the unity of the ruling party. You can't, Mabuso Motsamang put it perfectly, he said, who do you want to unite with? A bunch of crooks. So you have to acknowledge the very difficult situation the country's in, and you have to say, in order to run a modern country, we need skills. And we need people who are appointed because they actually want to do the job and they know how to do the job, and not because of a buddy-buddy system or a cadre system.
And
so I think the issues are clear. I also think that the private sector needs to be even more direct on, we will not invest if the law and order is not being protected in South Africa, if existing infrastructure is being attacked and nothing happens to people, if the construction mafias, when we go to do a big project, who are essentially crooks who come along and extort things, that's, why would I invest in that? So the truth is, I don't think the private sector is being clear enough or sharp enough on what is required in order for us to risk our investors' money and to get returns. On the other hand, the government is not recognizing and acknowledging how weak they are and is not urgently implementing the changes that will encourage the private sector to invest.
Thank you, Anne Bernstein, at the Center for Development and Enterprise.
The Money Show.
The Markets.
And on to Arthur Karras. Now, despite